Welcome, everyone. It is Elaine Taylor-Klaus with Impact ADHD, and today is Tuesday, October 9th, 2018, and we are on the line with a full PSS group, and we are going to be talking about step two in the model, and we're also going to spend some time talking about executive function today. So a little more content in this call than perhaps usual, but I want to make sure we still get into opportunity for conversation and discussion as well. Usually this is Diane's call, so those of you who are tuning in and listening and can't figure out why Elaine is here, we've got a little swapping around this week because she's coming back from fall break, and I'm about to leave on fall break, so that's why I am here. And this is generally a call for older kids, although parents of older kids, although some of you may be at different ages, and that's whatever age your kids are, it is fine to be here or fine to be listening. And that's all I'm going to say in the way of introduction. Let's dive in. So I want to start real quick with celebrations or check-ins and let everybody have a chance to take aim, and then we'll get into today's topic. So who would like to get us started? We do have a full group, so I do want to encourage you to kind of jump in and not wait, but, you know, otherwise it may be easier, and I'm happy to call on people if y'all think that would be easier.
This is Melanie, and we are celebrating more often being on time to school.
Awesome. Great. Who else?
This is Mia. I'm celebrating my daughter got a part in a play, and she packed her own drama bag with her script and her water bottle, all the things she needs, and it was her idea to pack it ahead of time. So, very excited.
That's very good. Yeah, so it's wonderful when you sort of see those moments of like, oh my God, there's hope. Cool.
Exactly.
And how old is she?
She's 11.
Remind me how old she is.
She's 11, so she's, you know, and she loves this process, but she usually forgets something big like the water bottle or the pencil, but this time it was perfect. It was beautiful.
It was a beautiful thing. And Melanie, remind me how old your kids are, or kid.
I have a neurotypical 12-year-old in 7th grade and an 8-year-old with really strong ADHD. The force is strong with that one.
The force is strong. Okay, great. And who else?
This is Jennifer. I'm celebrating that my senior received 6 medals or 6 ribbons and 2 certificates for JROTC at the award ceremony last week. And he was bumped up in rank 3 levels.
Oh, my gosh.
So,
congratulations.
Wow.
That's a kid for whom structure works.
Yes. And I got a great compliment
right?
from the colonel that he's doing great, and it's the best he's seen of him since before he started school. So.
That's awesome. That's congratulations. That's a huge accomplishment, and I'm sort of being joking, but I'm also really serious. It's like that is a clear indication. You know, some of our kids resist structure, and some of our kids respond well to structure. And so, what that tells you is that this is a kid who's beginning to realize that structure works for him.
Yes,
and,
it does.
And there's a lot of power in that. There's a lot of opportunity in that. So, congratulations.
Yeah.
Who else?
Well, this is Hillary, and I guess I'm celebrating the fact that I did some investigating and conversations and figured out why my daughter is so behind on all of her homework and is failing her classes. So now that I know why, we have a plan.
Wow. All right, and we'll be talking about that more today, so perfect timing. And tell me real quick how old she is.
13.
Okay. And last but not least, Tina. Are you there?
Yep, sorry. I'm celebrating the fact that I have been able to help my son not be so negative about himself and more able to share when he is, like, instead of him saying he's stupid, I'll just say, no, you were just distracted, or, you know, more like turning it away from intelligence to, like, what the actual issue was. Like, he was being more entertained by
right.
the television or whatever. So, it, yeah, just
and
moving that
he?
Away from. He's 11.
Okay. Great. Well done. So can I offer a little something there? Now
yes.
that you've begun that process of saying, well, you were this or that, now start shifting it to a question. Do you really think that was stupid, or what else do you think might have been going on?
Okay.
So it's not you telling him he's not stupid, but he's starting to tell himself.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Right?
What
because
if he
I mean, we do this,
to say,
right?
Yes, it is.
Well, then you can say, I can see how you'd see it that way. I don't think so. To me, it was more like da-da-da-da.
Okay. So ask him the question.
You don't have
him
to agree with it.
And then, okay.
Exactly. But ask him,
okay.
ask him the question, because whenever they can answer a question with to and learn for themselves what it was you want to tell them, they're going to learn
mm-hmm.
it better. The brain's going to process it differently.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's just a little tweak, but see where it takes you. It has a lot of potential. And I just want to celebrate because I have a high school senior, and we're about to go on fall break, hallelujah, and go see a few colleges for really the first time because he was really, really sick, and we started late in this process. I want to celebrate that instead of telling him he needed to finish his essay and win last night, I took my own advice, and I asked him who he wanted to work with to finalize it and what he wanted his deadline to be. And when he said, I don't know, I really held him to – you don't have to tell me what. You just have to. You have to make the decision when. So let me know when you decide when. And so he made a decision last night what his deadline for himself would be, and I was very proud. Because this is hard stuff. This college stuff.
That's impressive. Yeah.
I was really proud of myself. I was like patting myself on the back. So thank you for letting me celebrate. Okay. So real quick, let's take aim. What's the area you want to focus on? What's the change you want to see? Anybody who
this
wants
is Tina. I want to continue with the emotional management with him because of his confidence.
Okay. So can you be more specific?
I think it's just trying to get him to, like, not call himself stupid. Like, he calls himself stupid a lot, probably at least 10 times a night. So anytime he makes a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
So
the change you want to see is? Is it how he handles it after he does it, or you want or an awareness of stopping doing it? Which place would you want to focus first?
I think it's probably like an awareness of, you know, how it's not an intelligent problem. It's just another one. So, like, what he's seeing it, how he's seeing it, and how he, I guess, more of just his view of it when he makes a mistake. Is that?
Okay. All right. So really help him see what's behind his mistakes.
Yeah. And that mistakes are
okay.
Like, that's not, yeah.
Yep. Great. Cool. Okay. Who else?
And this is Jennifer.
Okay, Jen.
I would love for my son to really focus and really think about what he wants to do next year. Because, I mean, he's all over the place. It makes it hard to, you know, complete
so let me target you in, because that's a pretty broad thing to get a, you know, 17, 18 year old kid to decide what he wants to do. So what's the change you're looking for more immediately? What's the first place you're looking to focus?
just his I guess him really being able to focus. And, well, I don't know. I always have a hard time with this. Be able to say what he wants to do realistically.
Well, is it a realistic expectation for him at this stage to know, when you say what he wants to do, are you talking about for the rest of his life? Are you talking about after college, after high school? Like, can you be more specific?
Well, after high school, it's got to be something more than I want to join the Marines, which that's not, even that's not as simple as him just saying, I want to join the Marines.
Okay. So, but it sounds like what you're saying is he's got a plan, but you don't think it's a realistic plan?
Yes.
Okay. So is it that you want him to come up with something else besides the Marines, or is it that you want him to do a little more thinking about what would it take for him to get in the Marines?
I think maybe more realistic, because, I mean, he knows what he needs to, you know, what everything he needs to do prior to getting in the Marines. I mean, he's got to be off of his ADHD medication.
So let me interrupt you just in the interest of time, because what I'm hearing is that he's got an agenda, right? He's got
right.
a plan of what he wants. And what it sounds like is you want him to get more specific about his plan with some timelines associated with it.
Yeah.
Okay. So it sounds like then that the change is not figure out what he wants, but to help begin to put a plan in place for getting into the Marines.
Right.
Okay. Does that feel more manageable?
I don't know. It still seems.
All right, so what's the first step of the plan? As you see it. Or maybe that's the wrong question. Maybe it's before you even get a plan in place, it's to really spell out what are all the pieces that are going to be necessary. Like, to capture down. What you're looking for is for him to know what he's doing after he graduates, right?
Right.
And in order for him to know what he's doing after he graduates, he has to look at the bigger picture and sort of plan out what are the pieces that need to get done.
Okay.
So
yeah.
You have a good idea of what's involved. Do you feel like he does?
Yes and no, but I just don't think he knows how to do it. Or I think
okay.
he's scared.
So is it possible that the change is not for him to get a plan, but that maybe what you want to take aim on in terms of what needs to change is being able to have a really clear conversation with him about planning for the future? Is it about getting on the same page with your communication with each other first? So I'm going to ask
yeah.
you to hold on to that and think about that. We'll circle back. Let me check in with everybody else and we'll just circle back to you. But think about what's the real next step that you really want to accomplish. And my instinct is it has something more to do with your conversation with him than it is about him doing anything. So play with that a little bit. And let me go on to Mia, Melanie, or Hillary. Let's let y'all check in and then we'll come back.
This
Melanie
is
here.
Oh, go ahead, Melanie.
So what I think I need to take game on is my own acceptance / resistance of the fact that Margaret still needs one-on-one care through her entire morning routine.
So are you saying that you do accept that that's the case and you want to deal with your own resistance of it? Or are you questioning whether you really think that's the case?
So I know I accept it a lot more than I used to. And as I have gotten more accepting of it and able to sort of just be with her and where she needs to be in terms of using the entire morning routine to connect with me, I still find myself fighting or resisting, or it doesn't feel smooth to me in the moment, and it's my own internal game. Like, if
so what
I
you really
can,
want to take aim on is your response to what's happening in the morning.
My response to what's happening in the morning, in the moment.
Okay. All right. Managing your morning reactivity.
Yeah, managing my own reactivity in the morning to whatever she's doing, not doing. Yeah.
So what I would say is managing your morning reactivity, in particularly in relation to your daughter.
Exactly.
The better I've gotten at that, the better
the mornings go. I just
want to point out a model. So there's a big difference between I have to be more accepting or more tolerant or whatever, and this is about how I'm reacting to her specifically at this time in the morning. That's a much more narrow place to take aim and therefore much more effective. Does that make sense?
Yes. Could you restate the more specific wording for me one more time?
Yeah, so it's managing my morning reactivity, my reactivity in the mornings in relation to my daughter's behaviors.
All right, I'm going to write that down. I need to capture that one.
You can always go back and listen, and I've got it for you. Okay, who was next? Was it Mia or Hillary?
This is Mia. I'll chime in. I need to focus on transitioning control for our systems. We are about to have puppies join our lives, so our daily routine is going to change. I like things to be color-coded and attractive and organized, and that has worked well to prompt my children to like my pretty little magnets. But it's time for the magnets to be of their design. They need to kind of scaffolding them to creating the systems to get them started to do their responsibilities. So I probably need to first start
so
with my issues
in,
around
that's
control.
Really broad.
Yeah, that's really big. Yep. So perhaps my feelings of anxiety around letting go of control around these systems
might be showing up a little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit. Like, but they're so pretty. So I think just begin to think about how to. I don't know how to say that, Elaine. I'm stuck. How do I make that smaller?
I'm not really clear what you're saying.
I need.
And what it has to do with the puppy.
The puppy, there's lots of jobs that are going to need to be done for the puppy. So the wall chart needs to be more than the visual schedule we currently have around come home, have a snack, do your homework, you know, relax, those things. I have a second son on the spectrum. So we need to rebuild all of those tools to support our new lifestyle. And I want them to be my partners in it. I'm intellectually there, but I know I need to involve them because I've been here with you all for years. But I'm
so,
stuck there.
So what you're saying is you want to involve your kids in creating new afternoon structures.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, and I'm going to narrow in on afternoon because, sure, there's lots of
places. Oh, yes, afternoon,
what,
no.
What I sort of hear you saying is it's afternoon after school.
Yes.
You want to involve them in the process of creating new structures.
Yes, thank you.
Given that include the puppy.
Yes. The rest of the day is my problem, but yes, the afternoon.
Great. No, but that's great. And so here's what I want to offer you is that it's not an either or. You do not surrender control by empowering your kids to have control as well. You allow them to become part of a process with you and teach them how to do what works for you in a way that works for them. I appreciate that. That feels better than letting go completely. I mean, it's all about letting go, but it's about transferring the baton, right?
Right.
I mean, you want them to have a life where they can appreciate and enjoy color coding if that's a good fit.
Exactly, if that's their thing, yes, exactly.
If that's their thing, right. Okay, great. Hillary, what about you?
Well, I'm still working on homework. And at this point, I'm not so much even working on having her just figure out that she needs to do it and do it herself. It's her. The biggest problem is not turning things in after she does them.
Huge issue. Getting homework turned in. Love it.
Yeah, it drives me crazy because she goes through all the effort of getting it done. Actually, we go through the effort of getting it done. And then it never quite makes it into the classroom. So that's what
cool.
I've been working on.
All right. Okay. And Jennifer, circling back to you, any ahas on where to take aim? Jennifer ran away and she's not here anymore. No, I'm kidding.
No, I'm here. No, my mind went elsewhere. So
okay.
I'll just skip it for now.
So what I'll ask you to do is just sort of hold this notion of that there's something about the communication with your son about the process that needs to happen to get into the Marines. And for now, just let that be enough to just think about that as we move forward. Is that good?
Okay.
Okay.
That'll work.
And so it's a good segue, actually, to today's topic. Several of your areas of focus are good segues. So there's sort of – today's topic is sort of two things. The first is what we call – it's step two of the model. It's collecting information. And it's a pretty simple concept, and so the reason we do executive function in this module, in this week, the six areas of executive function, is because we feel like it's a good vehicle for collecting information, and it's a great framework to use or structure to use to get curious. So, you know, when you think about the model, step one is always about taking aim, and we spent, 15, 20 minutes today just narrowing in on where you're taking aim. Right, and really helping us get very clear on the change you want to achieve, because that's what enables you to have some success with it. Is the more targeted, the more specific the place you take aim, the more likely your success, and the easier it is to see what created the success and to build on it. And so then the next step in the model is to really take some time to get informed about it, collect information, get educated. What is going on in this dynamic? And what are the different pieces? What are the emotional pieces? What are the structural pieces? What are other players' roles in this? What are your roles? So Jennifer's example about the Marines, it's not just I'm going to go apply to the Marines, but he's got to be off meds for a year. So what does that mean? And what does that mean for senior year? And what does the school say about, how does that all play out, right? Very, very similar with Mia, right? So from one extreme to another, you want to involve your kids in creating this new afternoon structure. Let's get curious about, do they like your color coding? Do they think they're really cute? Do they not? What works for them? We know it works for you, but that you may discover, those are great, but man, when you use that orange, it makes me crazy, right? Or,
they can read
I really
now. They don't need
want
pictures.
To draw pictures and not have color, right?
Yeah.
Or maybe I love pictures and I miss pictures, or whatever it is. But really getting curious about what do they like and what works for them and what do they think the jobs are now and what do they think the jobs would be important to do. And just getting their input and their opinion, it's a powerful tool to take you towards buy-in, right? Similar with you, Hillary, if the issue is not turning homework in, what's the impact to her of not turning it in? Has she made the connection with the fact that she's doing all this work and then it's not getting turned in and then she's getting the zeros? And it could be a simple process for her to shift that, and what would the impact be for her, right? What's in it for her is always a key question. So the first place here is about this issue of collecting information. And, you know, the strategy we teach around it all the time is getting curious. Get really curious about what's happening and look at all the different angles of what's going on to really dive in. And the key here is not to make it a grilling session, not to interrogate our kids about what's going on for them, but for us to sort of take the space and get curious and think about it and process it and ask them some questions or ask what they're curious about and to sort of engage them in a conversation around it and to think about it without it becoming, an interrogation, right? So I want to stop and just see if there are any questions on that before I go into a conversation about executive function. Any thoughts or questions about that? Anything coming up that you want to bring up?
How do you make it not be so interrogative? Because I feel like that's what it becomes. Or is there like
who's
something
speaking,
I can listen
just so
to?
I know.
Oh, sorry, this is Tina.
That's okay.
Is there something I can listen to that would help to not be so interrogating?
Well, so if you're thinking about emotional management issues, then you're going to approach it a little bit differently than if it's, you know, collecting information about how homework gets home and back to school, right, which is a little more structural. But generally speaking, if you think in terms of open-ended questions, right, how's it going for you? What's going on when? Have you thought about? Like some open questions, and you could, like, go Google open-ended questions even. But questions that you don't have an answer to are the key. And when, as you've said before, when they come back and challenge you or say no or sort of shut it down, to be okay with that and respond to it by saying, oh, okay, I was just curious or I was just thinking or, you know, not to force it, but to give it space. Because oftentimes if you pose something to a kid and they don't know yet because they have to have time to process it, they may come back later, or you could even circle back later and say, you know, remember when we were talking about that earlier and you didn't know? I'm just curious if you've thought about it and if anything's come up for you. Just really open, and I think the word that's coming to me is space, giving the space for these conversations to happen. You know, it doesn't happen on a schedule where I have to get curious from 3 to 4 this afternoon. Right?
That is so hard.
It is hard, right? But it's not a checklist, not an item on a checklist. It's not part of a to-do list. It's part of your relationship, is to always be stepping back on some level to a 5,000-foot level and staying curious about what's going on in this dynamic. How are they feeling? How are they responding? When I asked a question that way, that really triggered him. Okay, pull back. How could I phrase it differently at another time? Right? So I think my does that help answer the question?
It does. I think it also is like causing me a little bit of anxiety to like let it go. And I have a control issue too that I'm like, I need to get it resolved now. But it's just pulling back. And pulling back myself so that I don't have to know today, I can know it later. But, that's a whole other beast for me. Yes, space.
The biggest thing you have, and as kids get older, they need more and more space. I'm a firm believer that some of the most important conversations I've had with my kids have taken place in 5-minute increments over weeks.
Okay.
Weeks, not days.
And for us, they always want to not look at each other. I don't know why. No
say
eye
it again.
Contact helps. My daughter, no eye contact helps, like riding in the car,
it
sitting
does.
Next to each other. I don't know why.
Yep.
But
it's huge for a lot of kids.
That continues that like awkward conversation. You're like, oh, okay, we're back here. Okay.
That's good. That's good. And that's exactly what it is they need. And a lot of our kids, they have slow processing speed. So they really need time to think about it. And, you know, we'll ask a question and expect an answer because we've been thinking about it for 3 days and waiting to ask the question at just the right time, and we've processed it all these different ways. And it's the first time they've considered it. And then we expect them to have an answer. Well, they don't know yet, right? So, you know, Jennifer's son probably hasn't thought through all the different pieces, that what it's going to take to get into the Marines. But if we can sort of incrementally begin to ask some questions about, have you checked the requirements? Do you know what the timeline is? Just curious what your plan is, those kinds of things. It can invite them to begin to think about these things. One of my daughters had particularly slow processing speed, really, really slow. And when she was in elementary school, we figured out to give her the writing prompt the day before, because she had like a blank page paralysis. She really struggled with writing. And when the teacher would give her before she left school on Tuesday, the teacher would say, tomorrow we're going to be writing about XYZ. And then by the time she got there on Wednesday, she'd had a chance in the back of her mind at some point to process it.
I'm writing that down. That's excellent.
Yeah. So they really need space, and the older they get, the more space they need.
Yeah.
So the other place to really look that can be really, really helpful for collecting information is executive function. And you've got every one of you on this call has had this lesson a couple of times, so I'm not going to go into great detail about the model and the, you know, the six quadrants and all of that. You guys are grown-ups, and you can go look at the exercise in the workbook. I encourage you, if you've not done this exercise with your kids, it is a magical exercise to do with kids. At any age, all of your kids are old enough to do it, even the 8-year-old. But again, you're not doing in this, it can't be a homework assignment, right? You need to print out one for everyone in the family and say, I've got something really interesting for us to do together. And let everyone fill it out. And first you focus on the strengths, right? Put a check mark next to what you feel like you're doing great or you've been doing better at. Always start with the positive before you go to the challenge areas. But any kid who's struggling, who can then sort of externalize and see on a piece of paper, well, no wonder I'm struggling. I'm impacted in 4 out of 6 areas of this chart, or 6 out of 6, which a lot of our kids have. It's validating, and it can certainly help your son, Tina, see it's got nothing to do with intelligence, right? And, you know, when we teach about it, we start by teaching there is a difference between intelligence and organization, right? Executive function is all about the organizational management, that ability to self-regulate, and it's got nothing to do with how smart they are. You know, and I used to hold for my kids all the time when they were younger, I am not worried about your ability to learn the material. What I want to really focus on helping you with is learn how to do the school so that you can help the teacher see what you've learned. Because my kids were always the kids who knew the material and went into the class and then blanked on the test, right? Because it was a working memory issue and a stress issue. It wasn't about whether they knew it or not. They understood it. And to help them begin to see what they do understand, and that this other stuff, this executive function, is not about smart. It's about self-regulation. It's about self-management. I used to say to my kids a lot, you know, I love the way your brain works, because I want them to begin to think in terms of, I have to understand how my brain works, what works for me and what doesn't. So, you know, so we have these 6 areas of executive function, and I'll go over them really quickly, just, you know, on a cursory level, but I really encourage you all to do the exercise, either with yourself or with your kids or, you know, with the family or however you do it. But it's just really interesting. And then it becomes something you can do again over time. Like, I've done it with a couple of my kids several times over years. And this year was the first year, or last spring, I guess, where my son, I did it in a class of his at school in a neuropsych class, and the teacher asked him if he'd done this before. And he looked up and said to her, yeah, and I didn't realize how much I'd improved. And so it really, you can use it kind of as a baseline for them to begin to see their growth. So the 6 areas of executive function that are most impacted for kids with ADHD and the complex issues that we face in this community. are, the first one is task, what we call task management. That's the activation, that's getting started, planning, prioritizing, sequencing, time management. Jennifer, I would bet that your son really struggles with this, which is why he can't sort of may have a trouble putting a plan in place to get from here to where he wants to go. If he has trouble activating or planning it all out, it's a huge challenge area, so he's not going to be able to do it on his own. He needs some help to do it. Right. The next one is action management. That's where the physical hyperactivity, self-regulation, impulsivity, you know, fidgeting, handwriting, all that kind of stuff comes in here. And, you know, oftentimes this is an area, Tina, where our kids will see themselves do a behavior and call it stupid when it's klutzy, right? Mm-hmm. When they've sort of spilled something, I'm such an idiot. Well, it's got nothing to do with intelligence, right? But you are a little hyper, and you know your body's jumping out of control. So action management is about that, is physical self-regulation. Working memory or information management is about holding memory and memory recall. It shows up a lot in school issues, writing or math, or organizing ideas. Kids who struggle with learning from their mistakes and applying it again in the future. Kids who forget to turn in their homework because they turned it in last week, and so they think they've turned it in, which happens a lot. Memory issues and information management could be a really key issue for you, Hillary, potentially, for your daughter. Focus is your sort of classic symptoms of attention management, whether you're hyper-focusing or distractible or staying on task or, you know, knowing what to pay attention to. You know, and Melanie, this may show up for you in the mornings around this reactivity issue, is you know, what are you focusing on and what might you be hyper-focusing on that could be interfering, right? So paying attention to that there. Emotion management is all about emotionality and emotional intensity and sort of managing. It's the self-regulation part of feelings, which is really, really hard and which we don't really give credit for how hard it can be. And then the last one is what we call effort management or energy, and that's sort of staying alert, sustaining that information, that effort, processing speed we were talking about earlier that comes in here. You know, making decisions can come into this area, just that ability to sort of keep myself engaged enough and involved enough to stay with something can be really hard. Whew. So I'm going to stop and open it up for a conversation. We're talking about executive function, and we're talking about collecting information and getting curious and sort of how they relate to each other. So what's coming up?
This is Tina. I was wondering, how do you, like, present this to your family the first time? Like, how do you, like, say, hey, we're going to do this without it feeling like a homework assignment or something?
I would probably bring it out and say, hey, I got this thing from my coach. I did it in my class today. I thought you guys might be curious and might like it.
And then once we take the test, then what do we talk about then?
Okay, let's start with, this is not a test.
Oh, right, okay,
right?
Sorry. Right.
No, but hear that's where your brain goes, right? And so that's where they're going to go.
Yeah.
Right? This is not a test.
Right.
This is a cool little exercise to get more, to understand how our brains work and where our what we tend to be good at and the kinds of things that sometimes we have a hard time with.
Okay.
And just keep it as neutral as you can that way, right?
This may be kind of silly. We did this at dinner one year.
Uh-huh.
Around the instead of the table talk stuff. But we started with the parents talking about what we have a hard time with. And the looks on our kids' faces were priceless. They were like, oh, you think you're bad at something? And, you know, we thought we'd been knowing all along that, hey, I have a hard time with this. You know, mommy's feeling anxious, using all those feeling words. But they gleefully pointed out additional areas where we struggle, which is really fun for them. But that made it safer. I don't know. My kids just enjoyed that part a little much. But it made it
so that they could say that they also have intense emotions. So we could say, you know,
yes,
what, we're just a, we're a passionate family. And
right,
that's good and hard. So,
yeah.
I don't know. We made it more like a game.
No, I love
than
that
an evaluation. It didn't help
right
with eating vegetables, though. It distracted us.
Which you can then joke about, right?
Right, exactly. But that's how we did it.
Great. I love it. Thank you. Anybody else? What else is coming up for people? So when you did it, did what? Can you, do you remember what the impact was?
It gave us words to talk about our problems. That sounds really academic, but my son was able to say, it's not that I'm unmotivated, I just need to take a break. And he was six at the time. So it was like, huh, it's really, we gave him words to this. And part of me was like, are you lying? You know, is this true? But I started getting curious about that. And it's true, he has some low energy times of the day that maybe I thought
he
was
effort
just being a slacker. Right. So for us, it gave us words to describe challenges, and the kids could call us on our words, which, you know, has pros and cons. It's not always comfortable being corrected by your children, but I'm proud of them when they do it because they're usually right. So.
Well, and that transparency will serve them so well. You know, I often say, who wants to be friends with the person who's the goody-two-shoes, who knows everything and does everything? And like, nobody likes that person. Right? That person makes us all uncomfortable. And so why would we want to be that to our kids?
Exactly. And I never thought they thought we were perfect. I mean, honestly, because we do talk so much about what we don't, what we struggle with. It's just in their heads.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. So.
Well, but it's this whole, almost like a cultural norm that your parents are supposed to be, right?
Right.
Crazy.
And then that did lead into a conversation with my daughter days later about how, you know, she's calling herself stupid. We share that challenge with her dyslexia added on. And she was saying that, and I was like, well, wait a second. You already told me all the things I'm not good at, and you still love me, right? So clearly she was saying, how can you love me when I'm so stupid? I'm like, are you kidding? So, yes, you love me, I love you, none of us is perfect.
Right.
I'm sure we'll revisit that millions of times, but.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I so hear it. Well, and remind me at some point when she gets older you hit the wall again with the dyslexia, come back and let's have a conversation.
Yeah.
My college junior just hit her wall with dyslexia again this semester.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's fine, and she's managing it, and she's self-advocating, and, like, we're getting tutors in place and all this, but, you know, this notion that somehow it goes away because it's been remediated is just
it's so
baloney.
Wrong. It's the gift that keeps on giving. They can get it through.
It is.
Yeah.
Well, and she's a really high – my daughter, just so you know, my daughter is a very high-performing, scholarly kind of kid at a high-end college with dyslexia and ADHD and anxiety.
And it can all work out.
And
it's just,
yeah. It can. She's, you know, and she's doing research on ALS. Like, I mean, you know,
oh, wonderful.
Like, you know, it can work out if we debunk this myth that somehow we're supposed to be perfect, and if we're not, then, you know, then we're a failure.
Exactly.
This is Melanie. I'd just like to jump in and mention that one of my co-authors on a publication is actually dyslexic, and she's, you know, a tenured professor. So it does not have to hold people back.
It's amazing.
Oh, no. High success rate.
Yeah. About 40% of CEOs have dyslexia and ADHD, too. So.
Yep.
Yeah.
So who else? Where else does this sort of blending of executive function and getting curious provide an opportunity for you?
Can I ask another question? Have any of you guys given your these worksheets to, like, grandparents? Because, like, my parents have strong resistance about not understanding my son, Brady. And I was just wondering, do you ever give these to people like that? And did
Absolutely.
It work? And how did it happen?
Well, I'll see if anybody else have a response.
This is Mia. I did it. My dad ignored it initially. My mom was intrigued. My mom started mm-hmm. changing her behavior with my kids, and my dad got jealous of the better relationship she had. So he started asking questions. My parents don't respond well to worksheets, though, and for them what I realized is my dad was taking it as me criticizing his parenting because
mm-hmm.
they didn't act this way when my brother and I were young.
Mm-hmm.
But when my six-year-old started saying things to Papa, like, I think you're too mad, Papa. Maybe you should take a minute and cool down. He realized, you know, maybe there's something to this because kids got better social skills than I do. But it wasn't an overnight journey, but it just,
no.
Anyway, I'm sorry. So Elaine, over to you.
No. I think that was extremely helpful. I love that example.
Yeah.
On so many levels. Like, I want you to write that one up. I want to put it in the front and center on the website, right?
Yeah.
So many things come up to me, but like, and my husband's story was very much the same. Was when I finally said, what changed to have you, you know, move into this direction? He said, I just couldn't deny anymore that what you were doing was working. You know, and when you start to see the changes in the behaviors, it's kind of hard to deny them. So, but I would definitely bring it to grandparents, just like you're saying, you know, in a curious way. Not you should
mm-hmm.
do this, but, like, look what I learned. This is so interesting. It never occurred to me that I am yada, 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 right?
Right.
And it's a great tool to use with teachers, too. Really, really great tool to use with teachers to help the teachers understand where the breakdown, because teachers don't understand executive function. Most of them have never gotten this training. So you're better educated than they are about it, but we make this assumption that they know it, but they mostly don't.
I feel like they act like they know it, but they really don't. Like, I feel like I am,
exactly.
like, hitting a brick wall with them that they're like, oh, well, we know it all. And I'm like, well, no, you don't. And I get really, I feel frustrated. So.
Mm-hmm. So if you shift it from telling them to sharing information that might be useful for them. I know you
mm-hmm.
know it, and we just did this exercise. I want you to see what he thinks his problems are, because I think it might be really helpful for you.
Okay.
Right? Because they don't want to admit that they don't know.
Well, they may not even know that they don't know. Like, they think they
yeah,
know. Fair. But they may not even know that they don't know.
That's
I have
fair.
Trouble keeping
that's
the
really
you
fair.
Idiot tone from my voice when I say things like that, but that's really good phrasing.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I often will do it via email so I can edit 7 or 8 times.
Yes. Yeah, the you idiot doesn't really get you very far. But it's a really, I mean, it's a really cool opportunity to be able to say, if you can present it as additive for them, helpful for them, because you start with the assumption you know they're doing their best job, and this
right.
might help. It's very different from, see, if you only understood this.
What do they teach in
but
teacher college?
Speaking,
I have a lot of questions.
Say it again.
What do they teach in teacher school? I have a lot of questions about the grade.
Well, I mean, I was a teacher, and we didn't get – I mean, I taught high school for 16 years, and I thought I knew what ADHD was, and then I really didn't. I mean, we didn't have any – they threw the word at us. They would tell us things. You know, we'd attend IEP meetings and stuff, and I don't – I mean, it was just, like, brushed over. I mean,
it's so
we learned
unfair.
How to, like –
set up. Yeah.
We aren't. We weren't set up. Yep. I mean, we took basic philosophy
well, but, so here's
education.
The thing. the structure of the school system does the same exact thing that parents do all the time, that, that we've been sort of unteaching you guys and teaching you a new process, right? We have the tendency to start with the solution and then work backwards. And it doesn't work. And so the school system is all set on, here are the accommodations we're going to use to fix this problem. But if the teacher doesn't really know what the problem is, what difference does the do the accommodations make? They don't even know how to use them. They don't know what the purpose is. And so as we've started to teach Sandy School for Teachers, and we step back and we say, okay, let's help you understand what the purpose of the accommodations are before you use them, it's helping them find better accommodations. But they have to understand it first.
Mm-hmm.
So let's wrap up. What do you feel like, you know, let's take our, a few moments for the final four. What did you focus on in this call, and what are you taking away? What's your aha? What action do you want to commit to, if any? And if so, what do you want to do to set yourself up for success with that action? What's your takeaway? What's your commitment?
Well, this is Tina, and I'm going to just continue. I need to work on my being curious and just to use, like, I'm going to research some open-ended questions and just and work on, like, walking away. Be curious and walking away. So.
You know what the analogy I use, and maybe this will be helpful for you? You know the little birds at the end of the water at the edge of an ocean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they kind of run into the water and then they run out. And they kind of run into the water and then they run out.
Oh, the plovers.
Mm-hmm.
They're so cute.
Right? Our conversations with our kids are kind of like that. You sort of touch in and then you pull back. And then you touch in and then you pull back. I had one mom describe it as breadcrumbs. You leave breadcrumbs of conversations.
Okay.
So great, Tina. Who else?
Well, this is Hillary, and I'm going to, I think I need to go back and do that executive function thing again, the exercise. I did it a while back, but I'm not sure, I don't think I actually involved my daughter or my husband in it. I mean, I think I told my husband what I found out, but
right.
Not same thing. So I think I need to do that because I think that might help her kind of see where it is because she does some of the same things. You know, when she doesn't turn something in and stuff, she just says, yeah, I'm stupid. The same thing that, you know, you guys were talking about. And she obviously isn't, but, yeah.
Great. So, and can I just make an observation? I've heard several of you say, I need to. And I just want to remind you that this is a want. You don't need to do any of this. You're doing this because you want something to change. So stay connected to your motivation and your want in all of this as well. Who else?
This is Mia. So what caught my attention today was the involvement is key for buy-in. So just that basic thinking about that. And so my takeaway is I need to find time to have that happen. It's not gonna. We're not going to have a meeting where it all gets done. It has to happen in those little distributed conversations, you know. Maybe starting with the first list, like, what are our new jobs? Yeah, you know, making, maybe we make it fun with post-it notes or something. A realistic action step for me to take is I'm going to take down the stuff that we have on the wall that's old and out of date, and that'll be my reminder to kind of tee up that question and think through. So talk to my husband about, we can't make the list. It's got to be a team effort. Setting myself up for success. We've got a hard deadline, so that'll help. And the fact that my daughter is actually liking to make her own checklists now, so going to ask her first because she'll probably have more energy around it than anybody else because she can put stickers on checklists. So.
Great. And just be clear, you don't really have a hard deadline.
Right, it's true. The puppy could come here and
yeah, we would wing it. It'd be fine.
It's really okay.
But,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's okay. Great. Who else?
This is Melanie, and what was resonating for me was the difference between conversation and interrogation. That was really good for me today.
Great. Anybody else? I think there's one more we haven't heard from. Okay. I'm going to call it. I want to acknowledge you all. Thanks for being here. Thanks for making this such an interesting conversation. And I, as I said a moment ago, I challenge you all to figure out what's important about this to you and stay connected as you move forward into the next phase. I hope everybody has a good, great week. I'll talk to you soon. Take care, everybody.
Thank
Bye.
You.
Thank you.